Leon Simes is the chair of Tate Tātou o Te Wairua, and for good reason, Wairua has been in the news, and therefore Leon can be considered something of a co-host of our program, because we've been speaking fairly regularly, haven't we, Leon? Tēnā koe, mate.
Yeah, tēnā koe, Dale.
Good to talk with you again. Look, I don't want to make light of the reality that you're facing down in your hood, and as the chair of the post-settlement governance entity for Te Wairua, you had more reason than most to be very interested in the recent report that was put together by Hekia Parata. I spoke with her yesterday, with Selwyn Parata, earlier today. The report's entitled Outrage to Optimism. Is that an appropriate title from your read? And obviously you were outraged at what occurred, but do you harbour or sense some light at the end of the tunnel, i.e. the Outrage to Optimism referencing here? What did you make of the report first up, please, Leon?
No, definitely. The title suits the outcome of the report. They also, we fully support the recommendations that come from the report. Fully engaged in the process with Minister Hekia Parata there when she came around and had a discussion with us. So yeah, definitely all the recommendations are fully supported by my board and my people as a way forward to address this issue that has become pretty much a dominant issue on the East Coast.
Do you think that councils have been asleep at the wheel here? Because the problems that slash and debatable practices have resulted in could have been foreshadowed and perhaps should have been. But councils are mindful of the economics of the forestry sector and how it contributes to regional development and the like. Leon, do you think they could have been doing a much better job, not just in Wairua, but you know, across through Gisborne, north up into Ngāti Porou? So what would you say of the complicit nature of council activity or lack of that see us in the situation we're confronted by?
Yeah, no, definitely councils have got some responsibility to bear in all this. Even councils, different councils, we straddle both the Hawkesbury Regional Council and the Gisborne District Council, and inconsistencies between the two councils. One allows slash traps, one doesn't. And so we've got this unequal playing field where the forestry operators operate within different spheres. So how are they meant to get it right if they don't, there's no consistency framework there? I think the main point too, Dale, what needs to come from the report is the monitoring. Who's going to monitor them? Obviously, the regional councils have dropped the ball on that in that process, and we're keen to pick up some of this area and make sure that these forestry companies are monitored more properly and more closely than they have in the past been.
Is there some risk that organisations such as the one you head, Leon, are seen as investment arms, post-governance entities, etc., to receive treaty settlements and chart a way forward, but therefore not factored in as well as they might to this infrastructural corridor that is absolutely vital to the long-term future for the regions that you represent? What would you say of the way, for instance, Tātou Tātou o Te Wairua are factored in to plans to improve the situation going forward?
Well, it's always been in the reactively sense, Dale, so we probably every couple of months get a resource consent for a harvest activity. But we don't have the resources and the expertise within our organisation to look at these reports to say whether the activities of these are going to be detrimental to the environment. So we're calling for some resource on our side to make sure that when these forestry companies go to actually want to plant from the start, from the outset, that we can be engaged in the process from day dot to say that, well, this is going to be a purple zone, this is going to be a red zone, this is going to be an orange zone. And so that we are engaged in it and know from the outset where these impacts will be affected, so then we can help guide these forestry companies and say that, well, we believe that this is where we should be planning these activities. And then on the other end, on the flip side, the end, in the harvest time, is being engaged in as well to make sure that those areas are harvested in a sustainable way that's not going to affect the environment.
Tēnā koe. I spoke yesterday with a guy with expertise in recovery from natural disasters. He'd been deployed to 200 times offshore since the mid-90s, Haiti, Kokoda, Ototahi earthquakes, etc. He says water is the most important issue here as we rebuild and restructure off the back of Gabrielle? And you'd know this more than most. What do you think will be the reaction of the local council, particularly for the water? Obviously, you've got to get it sorted. No one can survive without water and investment into the infrastructure that supplies it. Is this being prioritised to the extent that you would expect, Leon?
I think for us, we don't have an issue with water as a scarcity. Our neighbours to the north in Gisborne and Tairawhiti and down the south and Heretunga and Ahuri have that issue where there's over allocation already. Thankfully, Warrawal's in the boat where we're probably under allocated, but we want to make sure that we have the right infrastructure, set up the right, I guess, stop banks, flood zones, to make sure that the flooding event doesn't occur in the future. So we have a more of a overabundance of water that needs to be managed and directed into the right areas to make sure that these sort of events that we're going to experience in the future, and further cyclones, don't have a more major impact into affecting our whānau.
Thank you. Could you describe for our listeners too, because we saw images of floodwaters threatening, stop banks failing in Wairoa, and so there were flooding issues that were going to take some resolving. I wonder if you'd be kind enough to just paint a picture for us of where we're at regarding flooded buildings, people perhaps needing to move, work on the stop bank systems, etc. Can you just give us a bit of a physical geographic update from your community?
Yeah, so the community's done excellent since the flood hit. Silt removal has been the key major issue. Obviously, we can't get that silt from underneath people's whare. It's not going to dry out. So the aim has been trying to get that silt. And the government's come to the party, councils, community, all working together to get teams of people together, workers together, to get underneath people's whare to get the silt out, because that's the only way we can. There's no mechanical machine. We tried water blasters and the like, some jet blasters like that, but made more mess than actually, and then it cleaned up the area. So it's physical manual labour currently, getting that silt removed so we can get those studies dried out. And then obviously with this as a waiting game now, we've been working on a temporary accommodation. So we've got a number of pods, a number of motorhomes, a number of cabins that have been deployed to the most affected areas, affected streets. That's progressing well. We should have all that done by the end of May, people into those are temporary accommodations. And then it's looking like a 6 to 12 month repair work program that we need to probably focus on next once we've got everyone into temporary accommodation to see that how we're going to repair some of these whare. Obviously, some of the whānau are uninsured, so there's the question of who's footing the bill, how we're going to do this, and we're working through with the likes of TPK on that particular issue.
Tēnā koe, has it stymied your normal tranche of work? Obviously, in cyclone recovery mode, the entire community, rather than charting a way forward and the best way to invest the hard-won pūtea that Tātou Tātou Te Wairua has at its disposal, is a lot of that day-to-day mahi just being put on hold somewhat at your end, Leon?
I think in certain situations like this, in a major event, there are opportunities, and some of these opportunities have allowed us to accelerate some of the planning we had in the pipeline. Obviously, we've increased our own capacity and capability within our organisation to respond. Government agencies like New Zealand Statistics, we were down here in Wellington yesterday signing an agreement with them. It brings forward a lot of work streams that we otherwise would stage out into the future. So in some respects, there is a light at the end of the tunnel to get work done, progress the organisation, progress the treaty settlement process, and it'll leverage the relationships and assets we've inherited. So it is, in some cases, a godsend that we've been able to accelerate some of these activities quite quickly.
And you're less isolated than you were. Bridges slowly relinking the town. What's the update there?
Yeah, so the bridge to Napier, between Warra and Napier, the Gaiti Bridge opened on Sunday. So that's a godsend for some of our whānau who've been missing, not back at home and able to return home. Some of our whānau who wanted to go down and visit whānau down in particularly in Napier Hastings. So that will leave some of the, I guess, some of the mental pressure and stress for whānau to be able to travel during the daylight hours to visit, obviously, doctor's appointments, specialists, as well as in there. So, yeah, no, it's going to relieve some of the pressure, but obviously those that have been directly affected are still under that heavy stress and wanting to know the plan and what's occurring and when they're going to see their whānau repair.
Thanks for sharing some kōrero with us regularly. I appreciate your time and expertise in this area. Leon Symes, cheers to tātou tātou o te Wairua. Thanks so much, Leon.
Thank you, Daniel.
Kia ora, mate. We'll talk again soon. You're with 603 Urban Māori Radio.